Good morning, Dr. Ribela. We are always reminded about our alien vegetation, particularly when we head ourselves into drought times. Won't you give us a perspective on where we are at the moment in the Western Cape? How are you?
Hi, good morning, and good morning to your listeners. The alien tree issue in South Africa remains a huge problem, and it's only getting worse. These trees are spreading all over the place. They're certainly not going to be the only way we can solve our water issues, but it's a win-win situation because where these trees are invading, it's really problematic, and they impact biodiversity negatively. They increase fire risk. So removing them is a win-win situation, especially where we can also create jobs to have them removed.
How do you actually establish how much a plant draws from the earth in terms of water? I mean, how do you measure that?
Yeah, great question. And this links to what I was going to say about the fact that we need, it's such a big problem that we need more investment to deal with the issue. And this was the departure point for our research. To get more investments and to upscale investment, you need evidence. And South Africa has a long history of research on the water use of these trees, but we went a next level of detail and used very fine scale hydrological modeling coupled with remote sensing, cloud computing to be able to look at a very fine and very accurate scale exactly how much more water these trees are using than the baseline vegetation.
Okay. And is it necessarily that if it's an alien plant, it will draw too much water, or are these those that have been identified specifically through this measuring technique that they are the ones that are draining our liquid?
Yeah, look, it's not the fact that they're alien or invasive that makes them use more water. It's the fact that they're trees. And of course, you know that with our fynbos, we don't really have many trees. And so when you change from a shrubland, which is relatively low biomass, to a tree-covered landscape, the amount of water that gets used increases dramatically. And we've been able to quantify exactly what that is and what impact that is on our Western Cape water supply system, for example. So the impact is quite large.
So the removal of these plants was underway and then the department stepped in the way. What happened there?
Yeah, so I really am not the best person to ask about
this,
but I do know that South Africa has just a brilliant program. It's world renowned for dealing with these alien trees. And it's called the Working for Water program. And it's been going on for 20, 25 years, I think. And what it's done is, you've mentioned this tender, about 4.6 billion rand. So a huge employer. And the idea really was to create jobs for especially the most marginalized in our society. And so the way that this works is that they clear these alien trees from our mountains, from our river systems. And there's also many other programs associated with that, like biological control, where researchers develop biological control to control the seeds of these trees, for example. And a lot of this work is supported through the Working for Water program. And I really can't speak to what's going on, but I do know that for a year we haven't heard anything, and people have lost their jobs in a very, very hard time in South Africa post-pandemic. For example, I know of one case in the Eastern Cape, very rural Eastern Cape, where one irrigation board was employing 400 people and has had to let them all go. And yeah, that's really, really hard.
When they're removed, what happens to the vegetation that you have deemed, you know, too water thirsty?
It's a very interesting question and something that's occupied economists for some time, looking at how can we bring in value-added industry so that you don't just take out this wood and leave it all there to rot, but you do something with it. And in some cases, this is possible and it's profitable. And in some cases, for example, high up on the mountains where it's too costly to remove the wood, it's not profitable. But yeah, there's been all sorts of value-added industries explored, everything from creating school desks for learners and building coffins, even biochar, furniture, all sorts of things. And this is not really the topic of my research, but yeah, there's a lot of work happening to try and see if South Africa can do something with the outputs.
Dr. Ribela, sorry, you remove them and then you make a profit off the sale, or you give the wood away?
I suppose that's on a case by case basis. So there are some people, for example, that just go in and take it out as firewood, for example, and they would then sell it on.
I mean, specifically the case of working for water. So you specifically are sent out to find water thirsty plants on the government's dime, and then you take the wood out and you make a profit.
I think the government, you'd have to ask them, but I think they try to partner with private companies who would come and they would invest the time, and they try to get these, they try to basically make it profitable so that it doesn't have to just come out of treasury, so that you can actually get companies coming in and doing the alien clearing, but then making profits on the side. So turning it into businesses, actually. But yeah, this is completely out of my area of expertise.
Let's get back to your area of expertise then. So what next? What next for us? I mean, how do we do best in terms of saving water? Let's say I'm living here in Claremont, and I think I see something that is not necessarily a natural or indigenous vegetation, and I think it might be too thirsty. I see a blue gum or whatever. Who do I call?
Yeah, so for all of the listeners around the Cape, there's many, many volunteer hacking groups. So I would say get involved. The Friends of Tekai Park, on their website, we've got a map showing where all these groups are. So Friends of Tekai Park, Friends of Table Mountain, there's all sorts of groups. And you can go on your Saturday and just give 2 hours and go and learn how to correctly remove these trees. That's very important. You can do it very poorly and make even worse of an issue. Go join these groups, get involved. And if you don't have time and you've got something you'd rather do, then consider donating to them so that they can improve their volunteer efforts. So that's what I would suggest. If you're seeing the issue out of your window, go and get involved with a local NGO.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Dr. Alana Rebello, for giving us that perspective, a researcher at the UCT, University of Stellenbosch, and the Agricultural Research Council.